Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, we want to welcome everybody back to the Transformation Cafe. It's terrific Tuesday. It's the Transformational Tuesday. Got all the great things going on here. And we've got Mr. Jamie sitting at the table. Mr. Jamie, how are you this evening?
Well, this is Mr. Jamie. He's doing pretty good, I guess. And he's calling from Seattle, Washington, up here in the Pacific Northwest.
The Pacific Northwest, and where there's the claim to fame of the Chrome Ohm tattoo parlor. So if anybody's up there and they need a fabulous tattoo, Mr. Jamie is the person to call. So that's something to know about. And Ms. Kenya, how are you tonight? Oh, sorry.
I am doing great. Thank you so much for asking.
And how are you, and how is beautiful San Diego tonight?
It's nice and cool now.
Nice and cool now. Yeah, we've actually been a little bit on the warm side, and I've been looking at the weather, and it looks like we're still going to be warm. So even though it's September, it's sure feeling like it's summertime. So there you go. So
it sounds like you're at the beach. I can hear the wind.
Can hear the wind? That's Jamie. Jamie's close to his.
No, I'm house. Just sitting in my kitchen. There's no beach here.
Oh yeah. You know, somebody pass. You hear like a boing going on. That's a beach ball. That's a beach ball going by. So I was watching some TED Talks the other day, and I thought we could talk about one that I thought was very, very interesting. It actually was with Jane Fonda, and she was talking about life's third act. And what that's about is really working from learning about just the fact that we've got an extra three decades onto our lifespan now, which is really interesting. It's since we're living 35 years longer than our great grandparents, and I thought that was just such an interesting thing to be looking at. And you know, we know that we're living longer, but I didn't realize that it was like 35 years longer. And just the fact that what that's really doing to our culture and society, because I mean, we're especially living in America or in the West. You know, the traditions of honoring the elder, you know, people as they get older and they're wiser and all that. There's really getting to be a challenge about that, because as we're getting older, it's giving us that invitation to really look at, you know, our last 30 years. And do we want to change careers? Are there things that we haven't done that we'd like to do? And there's an entire, you know, second adult lifetime now that gives us our culture an opportunity to be able to reinvent ourselves over and over again, which is just really, really wonderful. And she was using the analogy of like, you know, a regular, you know, bell curve where you've got, you know, you start out and then, you know, midlife, you're basically at the top of your curve. And then, you know, there's that decline as you get older. And people are finding in their 50s and 60s that they're really, it's just the best years of their life, because they're having more freedoms, having more availability to do the things that they want to do, having more freedoms that they have. And they're finding that a lot of professionals, doctors, artists, philosophers, and scientists are really taking a look at what they're calling the third act, the last three decades of our life, and the way that it's actually being a new level of study. Coming from looking at, you know, how are we developing and working with age? Because really, it comes from that level of really don't feel any older on the inside. You know how that goes. How about you, Jamie? You don't feel any older than you did when you were younger, right? Jamie? Are you there?
Well, I can say that they talk about regression when you get older. So does that mean that people, even though they're living longer, are regressing sooner?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I've got Jamie reactivated now. So, Jamie, do you feel any older than you did, say, you know, 20 years ago when you're inside yourself?
Am I on? Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, okay. Why don't you repeat the question? Because I guess I'm live, yeah. I don't feel any younger than I did before, or...
No, do you feel, I mean, do you feel just, you know, it's not like you're aging. You feel pretty much the same age, right, on the inside?
No, I definitely feel like I'm aging, yeah. I mean, it's as young as you think you feel, but, yeah, my body is, yeah, you know, it's getting up
body's
there a
giving
little bit.
You, so. You know, yeah, the body's, you know, challenging you a little bit more than you had before.
Well, of course, yes, you know. Not that I'm an old man or anything, but, you know, I definitely feel my age. I still think young, though, but, you know, that's all I can do, really, you know.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was kind of gearing toward is, like, are we thinking, you know, older thoughts and things like that? I think some of that can come from just looking at the models of our grandparents and parents and what did they do. And I think a lot of them, it's like I always get shocked when I see people that are like 65 and what they look like. Some people look pretty young and they look like they have a lot of vitality, and other people look like they should be 80 or 85. And I think part of it's just like, you know, what did your mom and dad look like? What did your grandparents look like? And a part of that's kind of a mental picture in your head of thinking that that's what you're supposed to look like. So what do you think about that, Gloria?
I have many thoughts on that.
I know you do. That's why I'm asking you.
It's the thought process that's going on is more like a push me pull you, because there are so many different people that have so many different ideas, and some people may unconsciously gear towards what they expect their parents to look like, but I think it's more about social gravity based on whom you're associating with and your perception of what should happen at certain stages, aka ages, in your life. There are people that love to commiserate, and the idea of getting older provides them with that as a positive feedback, because they can commiserate with other people who are experiencing similar issues, and it gets exacerbated, and that aggravates the condition as well as propelling that person forward into that mindset.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing you know, was saying that, you know...
And then you have those people that are rebelling that say, no way, and you know where, that I am going to do what my parents or my grandparents did.
Well, they did studies studying people that are older, and it's interesting that people have a tendency to not really go with what the doctors say, and, you know, they basically are, you know, they're definitely, you know, beat their own drum as opposed to, some, you know, going trying to be somebody else's rhythm or society's rhythm. They wind up living longer and healthier because they're not really listening to the, you know, what would be considered the norms. They listen to themselves instead of having it be, well, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, especially if it even comes with health care. I mean, when it comes to something like that, I think that's really interesting. And looking at that,
I'm sorry, go on.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I know that when you were talking about, you know, people feeling older and versus younger, and I remember when I was 29 and I turned 30, and I talked to my mom and I said, you know, I said, I keep waiting for this embodiment of wisdom. I said, when does this shift happen? You know, what happens when I, you know, get, I mean, what am I supposed to feel? And she said, you know, she said, it's just an age. She said, when you turn 30, she said, all that is a number. She said, I still feel the same inside. She goes, you know, you'll always feel the same inside.
Mm-hmm.
She said, nothing really happens. It's not like a rite of passage. And it's just going to be continuing on the same as you were before.
Well, I think you bring up a good point about the rite of passage, because that's one thing that they're saying with this is that, you know, psychologists are looking at this new dynamic of this third act and having it be where, you know, you've got your adolescent, you know, your childhood, your adolescence, and then you're sitting your middle age, you know, mid-years. And then now we've got this one where they're basically, they're not calling it kind of the ageless years, giving you an opportunity to really review your life. and be looking at it in ways that you may have never thought of before, because, you know, the pressures of all those different other dynamics as you're growing and changing and dealing with family dynamics and things like that, you just don't have them as you get older. I know for me personally, I really had a mindset change when I had lost both my parents. And I can remember, you know, for at least 20 years, I was really afraid of that. Like, who am I going to be if I don't have parents? But for me now, what is, I think it's given me a freedom, because I no longer feel on a certain level that I'm accountable to anybody else. You know, it's me living my life to the best I can. I mean, you know, I have my children and my husband and me being a person in within my community. But when it comes to sense of what my parents expected from me, I no longer have that as something that I always have to have as a part of a dynamic of me doing or not doing something.
You know, when you were talking about the polls and the surveys and the, you know, the data that the people are collecting that talk about how people are looking at these additional years that they have been granted to live, it also brings to mind the other side of the coin, because I met people that, you know, when the economic downturn happened and there was a shift in their investment, I mean, half of their retirement savings disappeared. And so, mm-hmm. you know, you have these people, it's not so much about what am I going to do with my older life, it's how am I going to live?
Yeah, because these extra 20 or 30 years that I, you know, hadn't really been a part of my financial plans, right?
Well, they may have planned for it, but all of a sudden the finances are gone. So their
right.
life drastically changed the opposite way. You know, they had to work more. It's a lot more work for them. So there's two sides to that coin.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Well, I know Gloria and I have a mutual friend, and, you know, she decided to retire, and now she does pet and house sitting. And, you know, it's like her new career. And she loves it because she gets to, you know, she stays at these great houses and has great pets, and you know, majority of her time is still free time for her, but yet, you know, she's made it as a secondary income for herself, and she's got these adventures of going all over the place and having all these places where she's kind of a caretaker for animals and homes. So it's a brand new thing for her. And, you know, she's coming from a very cool perspective on it. She's enjoying the process and enjoying how that's working for her. But, you know, that's one thing that Jane Fonda talks about in this TED Talk about, you know, life's third act. Is you really give yourself an opportunity to be doing something different. And she calls it a stairway, where you're really climbing to a new level of awareness of yourself, of, you know, what you do like and not like, and you're not having to take your family and your children and all those things into consideration anymore, because they're off living their own lives. So it gives you an opportunity to really get to know yourself on a level that you may have never really allowed yourself, you know, depending on what's going on with your circumstances. One thing I was thinking about right before we got on was about Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders didn't even start Kentucky Fried Chicken until he was in his 60s. So it really, I mean, and that was quite a while ago. So when you look at a level of longevity and then, you know, going after your dreams when it comes to levels of, you know, how, you know, success should be when you're young, that doesn't necessarily true. It's like basically going through and being successful in your visions. It's the same thing. I just heard that go ahead.
The sad thing about that is that he didn't understand or have a legal advisor, and he ended up selling the Kentucky Fried Chicken everything to some people who were going to take it and promote it, and they basically bought it out from under him, and he was unable to even have the rights to his own name to be able to promote his chicken stuff at the end. Yeah, so yeah, there's, again, two sides.
Yeah, two sides to the whole thing. Well, I don't know.
Chick-fil-A.
I'm going to mention
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A, the guy's 91 years old and just passed away.
Right, he just passed away, didn't he?
Yeah, he just did. So, you know, it's a
you know,
about chicken. It's a chicken
my
thing.
My wife met Colonel Sanders when she was a young girl in New Albany, Indiana. But that was a long time ago. And he said it was very nice.
He was cooking chicken at the time, right?
Oh, I don't know, but she said she met him, so that's an interesting little fact. I wish I would have met him.
Well, yeah. when he started, with the idea of a diner and a hotel. And his wife would take care of the hotel, and he took care of the diner. And that was with the advent of the cars and traveling, and he was
he had been looking for a place for his family and stuff. But it just, it, I think it was shaped like a teepee, the hotel. I think it was shaped like a teepee. And
it sounds like
cars
when they go to the, like, they look like traffic cones.
Yeah. So I don't know if
it's a teepee or is it a traffic cone? Okay. We're all over the place tonight. Okay.
So what is this about the guy with Chick-fil-A and dying, and why
is
this?
Well, he was 91 years old. Yeah, he was 91 years old. We were just talking about longevity and, you know, the third act. I mean, I'm not sure that's the question I'd like to know, is how long had Chick-fil-A been around? I would think at least 25, 30 years.
Oh, longer than that.
Wasn't it in the South that it originated?
Yeah, and it hasn't really been, you know, a franchise, I don't think, for that long, has it? Maybe the last, 15 years, 10, 15
Somebody
years?
Can Google that real quick, I'm sure.
Well, not me.
Is,
not
I don't
me.
Have
okay,
a computer here.
Not me, okay, okay. But anyway, so I just thought that was just kind of interesting, and there's actually all kinds of books out that talk about success in, you know, we'll call it your third act when you're moving into that, the last three decades of basically your life, that kind of thing, and working from that. So it's just really interesting to look at the, you know, after being 50. So there's some of the statistics that say they've actually done all kinds of research for people over 50. So we're all over 50, so we can basically say this is true or not. Do you feel better? You feel better than you did prior to being 50? I would say, yeah, I feel pretty good. How about you, Gloria?
You're funny. You're pretty good. How measurable is this?
I know, huh?
I guess,
well,
it depends how much over 50 you are.
I know. And a part of it is just like, well, and I think you when you're over 50, you kind of look at that and go, well, I'm going to be, you know, tempering that, knowing that I'm over 50. You know,
well, in my mind, I'm younger than 20, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I would say that about you. Most people, when they ask their age, just on an internal level with their sense of self, most people would put themselves in about the mid 20s.
Well, I just look at it like, you know, I gave up age about the time I hit 30 when my mom was talking to me about how you never really feel any different. And I thought, well, if that's the case, why should I give that any importance in my life? You know,
right?
Just
and that's
look
true.
At your fitness and
they
and
say
staying
you're
healthy.
You're as old as you feel, right? You're as old as you feel.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I think that you're
take care of yourself. I know somebody. I don't know who.
I think
some,
you can.
That was basically who was a trainer. A trainer said that.
I don't think it's you're as
motivated.
Old as you feel. I think you're it's more about.
Feel.
I think it's more about you feel as old as you think you are.
As you think you are. And I've heard it said, it's good to say you're not that you're old, but it's how many times you've been around the sun.
I have never heard that one.
You never heard that one? I've never heard that one.
That makes me
yeah,
think about Third Rock.
Around the sun?
That makes me think about Third Rock from the sun.
It's kind of a comedic response or something like that. So, but do you have less stress than you did in your earlier, like think of you as when you were raising, you know, your son and all that, is it less stressful?
I would say it's probably comparable.
It's just different kinds of stress, huh? It's a different kind, it's a different, you know. Different
well,
stress.
I mean, life as you go along and you have your peaks, valleys journey and you have different things that present themselves as life progresses. And so your stress level, while you may maintain the balance with that pendulum or that the metronome, you know, you just have stress. I mean, that's what part of life is. Anything, whether it's sad, happy, or devastating, or exuberatory, exhilarating, it's going to create stress. And anything that has change creates stress.
Yeah, she was talking about Viktor Frankl and how he had, you know, he was been in a concentration camp for 5 years, and he wrote that book, Men's Search for Meaning. And she said one quote that really stood out for her was that everything you have in life can be taken away from you except for one thing, and it's your freedom to your freedom to respond to your freedom to respond to life situations. How will I respond to this? And I think that's really true, because I know on a spiritual level, when you're coming from looking at different life experiences, will I respond or will I react? And in reacting, it's basically that knee-jerk, you know, thing that basically gets into stuff, you know, it's usually, you know, to the negative, you know, I'm going to get angry or upset or something like that. And I think that's, she's saying as we get older, we're able to be more reflective and look at that, probably because of life experiences. We've got more, you know, on our plate, and being able to just be in a more of a place of allowing that kind of stuff. So do you think that's true, Jamie?
Well, I think as you get older and you can use those experiences as a reference. I know a lot of times, well, talking about the stress thing too, there's always stress involved with anything to do. I mean, unless it's if you try to live a stress-free life, that's kind of stressful to try to live a stress-free life. But again, you have certain obligations and duties, and it's however you can in your own mind to balance things out and what is fair and how you're taught. And there's a lot of influences and things when you're growing up. And if you make the right decisions or good decisions and you know, you try to live up a certain point, you have to stop trying to live up to everybody else's expectations and try to do the best you can. I mean, that's in my mind. But a lot of times, you can only do the best you can, and that's all anybody can expect, and especially of yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to set the bar a little higher, and that way, you try not again is to be disappointed and to rely on yourself. And sometimes you can't rely on other people, and that's just a thing. But
right.
You should be
right.
Able to. Anyway, sometimes it doesn't seem like experience really counts anymore for people, and they just kind of discount the person just because they may not look right or they're not somebody they may not be interested in or just saying hello to somebody that maybe they never would not have thought of, or sitting on a bus with somebody and they start a conversation, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be well, you know, we all try to have try. Go ahead.
Gloria made a comment.
I didn't have a doctorate.
Or if you don't have a doctorate, it is a doctorate. Well, just think about it. If you have three more decades, imagine how many more doctorates you can get if that's how you choose to spend your time. You get a few doctors going on there.
4.0, right. Here we come.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely don't have a doctorate, and, I try to get along with people, and I feel like I can talk to just about anybody as long as they're receptive and, want to talk and not just expound things, and especially their point of view, you know. But again, you know, I'll listen to anybody, really.
Yeah, and I think that's a gift, being able to just start a conversation with people. A lot of people don't know how or would even be inclined to want to do that. So I think that's a gift in itself. So one thing that I was also thinking about with this the life's third act is, I think one thing that I know for me that's true, and I'd love to hear what you guys have to think about that, is just you can come from a more place of gratitude. When we had a show weeks ago where we were talking about simplifying your life. And I think you can get to a point, you know, when you're getting a little bit older, that you find you enjoy the things that are simpler, the color of flowers or the smell of food or just the simple things in life. You have a new sense of gratitude and a thing of appreciation for that, as well as being able to just enjoy what you have and not feel like you need to have more and more and more. So it's not a matter of accumulating anymore. It's a matter of appreciating what I have and even being able to give some of that away, knowing it's going to make other people happy, and just enjoying things on a more simple level. I think that's another reason why we can come from a level of just being more happy in our life, because we are able to be grateful and have it be more simplistic.
Oh my gosh, you're making me more stressed out. I have to do these things?
That's good, okay. So do you think that's true, Gloria?
Well, they say that. I think it again depends on the individual, because I still remember seeing that Star Trek movie where time stopped as Captain Picard was looking at this, I think it was a raindrop or a flower floating down or something, and the meaning of life was caught in that one moment. And all of a sudden, my world, I started looking at things in a stopped perspective. And it really was more amazing. And I wasn't all that old. Mm-hmm. So I think it depends on when you actually take the time to make the time.
Take the time to make the time.
I don't think it has to do with a certain age.
I like that. And you can thank Captain Picard for that. That's pretty awesome, too.
Yeah, Captain Picard, yes.
That's right. Yeah, I love that.
He was visiting another planet.
Yes. So that's really awesome. What do you think about that for you, Jamie? To have things simplified and appreciating more just what you have.
Well, of course, you want to appreciate what you've accumulated. I mean, maybe if it's through hard work or if it's something special to you, but it's only material possessions, and in the grand scheme of things, it's not who has the most, but I guess who appreciates what they have. And I'm finding I'm trying to unclutter and declutter like before, and I'm able to send things off that I think people would appreciate, and give things away, especially if it's art-wise, I can do that because it's kind of something that I can do. People appreciate that kind of thing, especially nowadays when everything is, not so handmade or individually made or one of a kind. So, even a handwritten note is much more appreciative than maybe an email or something, or even getting some in the mail to a youngster. That's probably a big deal, because then it's like, I always thought it was interesting when they get letters when I was a little kid, because somebody actually made the effort to do that.
Yeah, I think that they're saying that love letters are actually, there's a new resurgence of people writing love letters and sending love letters to one another. That's kind of a renaissance, movement.
And, when you would have
a
box full of old letters, those are memories.
Huh? Yes, exactly.
Hey, Robin.
And having them printed. Yeah. Yes.
That is so third world. How many people are going to get upset with that one?
I don't know. I don't, because I mean, we've got listeners all over the world, and I just,
I know, and I want to comment that I don't mean anything by that. I'm just being very flippant tonight, so.
You are being flippant tonight, yeah.
It's actually, and that actually may, if people took it the wrong way, you could look at it from the other perspective, that, when you do take the time to slow down, and some of the third world countries that I have been to, I find it very, very refreshing to just stop and slow down,
and
I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, I love being able to take a siesta in the middle of the afternoon. Isn't that a great idea? I think that's a fabulous
idea. And when the phones are turned off and you can't call anybody, how amazing is that? It's better than not having phone reception. I am sorry. The phones are turned off because people...
Is that true? They turn the phones off?
Very true. Very true. Very true.
I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, very
That's
true.
Very interesting.
One of the villages I was in, every day from 1 to 3, no telephone service. Because you only had one phone in the village. Yeah.
Oh, wow. There you go. I'm sure that isn't true anymore. I'm sure they all got cell
phones. No. And that could be the case, I guess. Cell towers, if they have them, But some countries
don't. You don't have to put it on mute. You got to put
the landline, right?
Yeah, the landlines are off and you got to put your cell phone on mute. Wow, that's very, very interesting. Well, again, it's a TED Talk from Jane Fonda, and if you look at it, it's called The Third Act. Very, very interesting. It was actually, she was saying that women, older women, are the largest population now on the planet, and which makes sense. So, but there's that whole, why do you think that's funny?
I will have to.
Sorry.
I will have to say, I will have to send you a video that someone had sent to me, and I see it wasn't Henny Youngman. It was, I think it was no, it wasn't Burl Ives. I'll get it to you, and you can feature it on the next show if you want. And it's called "Survived by His Wife," and it was a comedy act that was in Vegas that was recorded, and it was in the late 50s.
Sure, was it Don
early
Rickles?
60s? No, it was not. No, it was not Don Rickles.
Okay. But she goes on to really encourage everybody to do a life review and really look at look at your parents as just people and look at your grandparents as just people and how do they treat your mom and dad, that kind of thing. And it really helps you to realize that sometimes you thought situations were happening that you were the fault of or because of you, and you really had nothing to do with them. So it helps you to free yourself to looking at relationships and people from just a new perspective as you're getting older. And you've got that wisdom now and that the gift of experiences. So you can be able to just kind of reset yourself and realize that things are a little bit different and you're different too. And it actually, with the neurological sciences, they found that if people come from those new perspectives, it actually, you know, it can get locked in. You actually have a new norm of being able to look and appreciate people from new perspectives. So that's just really, really good. So, well, like normal, our 30 minutes go super, super fast. So thank you, Jamie and Gloria, for checking in. I appreciate that. And I thank everybody for checking us out. And make sure to go to your different stuff. We've got questions and places where you can leave comments. We'd love for you to leave any kind of a comment or ideas for the show just below here from the show. So we thank you again for joining us here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.